Welcome to Nothing But the Truth with David L. Johnston.
A couple things you need to know for starters, and that is that God is the Father of us all, no exceptions. He is the only progenerator of life on this planet. In Psalm 100, it says, "It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture." Now, it's true, some sheep go astray. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray, but we have returned now unto the shepherd. We have returned to our Father. But here it is in Ephesians, and there's one God, and He is Father of us all. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven." He wasn't asking you to say something that wasn't true. He was asking you to enunciate the fact, the acknowledgement that Heavenly Father is indeed our Father. So God is the Father of all of us. We also need to understand that earthly fathers are named after God. This is an interesting verse. "I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." This was genius to me. Who would have thought in the intent of God to procreate the planet, populate the planet, who would have thought of, what system would you come up with? He came up with fathers and mothers. An ingenious concept. And had we time to describe the genius of it, you should be overwhelmed. What a remarkable thing. So fathers are named after God. And then we learn that God is the model for earthly fathers to follow. Now, it is not that God is like us. It is that He wants us to be like Him. So there was a people that needed straightening out. "Thou thoughtest that I was such a one as thyself." We tend to think that God is like us. "But I will reprove thee." I'm gonna adjust that thinking, and I'm gonna set some facts in order before your eyes. "So consider ye this, ye that forget what God is really like." So, here we have this Heavenly Father. We fathers are named after Him. And it's not that He is like us, but it's rather that we should ascribe to be like Him. So hence our subject today, kind of interesting, is fathering like the Father God. So, what are fathers to be like, which are parallel to God? And the first thing we'd have to say is that fathers are loving and kind, just like God is. That's what a real father is like, loving and kind. So let's look at a couple of scriptures. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord. It's not just loving, but it's loving kindnesses, plural, of the Lord. "And the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord hath bestowed upon us." Do you take note of what your earthly father has bestowed upon you? Do you know that He is loving, kind towards you? Now that gets tested, that gets pushed, that gets pressed. But intrinsically, fathers are loving and kind towards their children, because they bestow on them just like the Lord bestows on us. And we're talking here about the Lord and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which He bestowed on them according to His mercies and according to multitude of His loving kindnesses, plural. And this is like our fathers are to be. They bestow multitudes of loving kindnesses upon us, and we're going to probably mention some of those. My goodness. It's your father. Supplies a place to sleep. Warmth and shelter from the elements. food to eat, direction, counsel, advice, correction. Fathers are to be just like the Heavenly Father who He promised that would meet all of our needs. That's what fathers do, because they do it out of this condition of loving kindness. Now, in the same verse, I want us to see that that has to do with goodness as well, that fathers are good and they are generous. They bring home a paycheck, but the percentage of the paycheck that goes to the family is a very great portion. And they do good to us all the days of our life. And the danger is, and it's a good thing for us to do this today, the danger is that we should forget all the goodnesses that come to us from our fathers. So this is a good day to remember it. Every day is a good day to remember that. But they bestow so many goodnesses upon us. In fact, it's like God, thou art good. Now, He's not just good, but in addition, that goodness has actions to it. And so your earthly father is good, and He has actions towards you that are good. In fact, what we should do is exactly with our fathers what we do with the Heavenly Father. Let the saints rejoice in goodness. And so here's a day to rejoice in all the goodnesses that your father. In fact, every day is a good day to rejoice in all the goodnesses that your father has bestowed upon you and still does. Good. They're good and generous. That means they're not indifferent to you. They are not indifferent to you. In addition, they are benevolent in their nature. They are always out to choose the highest good for you at whatever expense. They are gracious. Fathers are enthusiastic about you. They want to know everything that's going on in your life, and they support you and whenever it's wise to do so. They're enthusiastic. And if you've got any requests, you've only got to go, and that's what we do when we pray. Come boldly to the throne of grace to get help. And same thing with the earthly father. If you need coins, ask for them. If you need advice, ask it. I mean, fathers don't withhold unless it's wise to do that. They respond to all of our requests. Now, fathers are compassionate. And so we have this verse, which we've got to be careful not to misunderstand it. Like as a father pities children, so the Lord pities those that fear Him. So fathers pity their children. Now, I want to get this word pity straight, because it simply means this. This is the dictionary definition. Pity is the feeling of compassion caused by the recognition of the suffering, misfortunes, or the inadequacies of another. When a child cannot do something, a father doesn't point his finger and criticize him. A father recognizes an inadequacy and does everything to help that child learn to do what before then he hasn't learned to do. They are full of compassion. They want to help out in every situation. You hurt yourself, the father's going to be there to help you. So watch this verse again. Like a father pities his children. And the next verse goes like this. And again, get this analogy between the Heavenly Father and our earthly father. For He, our earthly father, just like our Heavenly Father, knows our limitations. He remembers that we are dust. That's why it says of Jesus, He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And so fathers hurt when their children hurt. Fathers hurt when their wife hurts, because fathers are compassionate. Now, they're also nourishing. They're nurturing and nourishing. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but up and nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Now, this word nurture needs to be properly understood as well. But let's look at the Message translation. Fathers, don't exasperate your children by coming down hard on them, but rather take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the Master. So a father's approach is not just like the hammer coming down, but to be nourishing, to be kindly disposed in leading them forward. In fact, I thought I had a definition there, but apparently I missed it. Here it is, nurture. Nurture is the process of caring and encouraging growth and development. That's what nurture is. So that's what fathers do. When it says bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, it is fathers putting into action a process of caring and encouraging to the children so that they can grow and develop and become better than they otherwise would be. Wow, what a wonderful thing to have a father that is nourishing. Now, fathers are severe. Now I need to pause here for a moment. Notice that they're nourishing, that that's their nature. They want to be compassionate and pitying and caring and helping you improve. And so they are really softies at heart in a lot of ways. In fact, one father of five won a toy at some event and came home and gathered his five children around them to see which of the five children he should give the toy to. And so he asked them these questions. He said, who is the most obedient? Who does not talk back to mother? And who does everything mother says? And all five children chimed in at the same time and said, okay, Dad, you get the toy. And because fathers are as compliant as they possibly can be, but there are times when they must become severe. Now watch this. Because this is true about God and is true about our earthly fathers. They are severe. So behold now the goodness, we've talked about that, and the severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if you continue in goodness. But whenever someone rejects right truth and turns the wrong way, they need someone who loves them sufficiently to deal with them severely. And that's what God does. You only have to read Romans 1 to figure out how severe it can be. After all of his attempts in changing them, and they refused, he let them go because hoping that he gave them over to this reprobate mind, this mind which is unregulated by truth. Because hopefully they'll find out how bad it is to go that way. So let's look at this. So God is severe. And so here comes the scripture, my son. Despise not the chastening of the Lord. In other words, and I'm going to make this analogy. Do not despise your father when he chastens you. This is not mine. This analogy is not mine. You're going to see it right in the text here in a moment. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Because he's trying to correct you for your good. Don't despise the severity that comes from your father. Because in his wisdom, he sees that that's the road to correction. Now watch this. And don't faint. Don't give up when he rebukes you. So here we have the severity of God the Father. We also have the severity of our fathers on earth, who must chasten us, And we should not despise that. Don't reject that. Don't mock that. Don't go tell your friends how horrible your father is. Go tell them how wonderful your father is. Don't despise the chastening that comes from your father. And don't faint, don't give up when he tells you something that needs to change. Because whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And now watch this. He scourges every son whom he receives. This is the severity of God. It's having to deal with us. How many of us here have been spanked by the Lord? In fact, one of the good things you should do is tell your children how God has spanked you. And so the Lord chastens every son. Now, if you endure, God deals with you as with sons. So when your father is chastening you, you need to realize that it's proof that you are his son. For what son is he whom the father chastens not? And watch this, it gets so severe. Because if you are without chastisement, it happens to all of us, then are ye bastards and not sons. Illegitimates. Real sons get chastened by the Lord, and real children get chastened by their fathers, and it may seem severe, but the end of it is a loving act. For he that spareth his rod hates his son, but he that loves his son chastens him when it is necessary. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. The rod and the reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. And so fathers have to be severe. Mothers are not good at this. In fact, I recollect in my family, my father was being severe. And it was noisy. And I'm making it noisy because I was the recipient of the severity. And my mother's right inside the door saying, "Don't hurt that child! Don't hurt that child!" They don't handle this severe thing too well. They're softer, gentler, maybe. But severity is really important. When it's done lovingly. The physical disciplining of a child without love is child abuse. But the physical disciplining of a child because you love the child is a godly act of severity. And fathers have to be severe. Fathers are giving. My, my. They will do without if they have to give to their children. So now comes the Lord, and this is what he says. If you, being evil, you know how to give good gifts unto your children. And that's what fathers are like. And mothers. Giving. Pay the bills. Give you some extra. Provide whatever you need. Not just dollars, although that's really nice. Advice, counsel, companionship, encouragement, help. Because children are untaught and untrained. That's why the scriptures train up a child in the way he should go. And then even when he's old, he'll not depart from it, but training him. And you know what that takes? It takes a father giving his time, his energies, his enthusiasm, his support, care. Fathers are really giving people. Now watch this. They know, if you are evil, know how to give good, how much more your Heavenly Father give good things to them that ask Him. Now, don't wait necessarily for Him to give you something. If you need something, ask Him. And that brings up something really important, is that fathers are approachable. Just like God is approachable. There ought to be no barriers between you and your dad. None at all. Now this is the Lord speaking here. I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. And that's the proof that you're my people. I'm your God. I am in your life. And you can come. And in fact, look at this. He says, come and reason together with me, saith the Lord. That's what fathers are like. Got a question? Ask your father. He doesn't answer, ask him again. Check the timing. Make sure he's got opportunity. Ask him again. Because fathers are approachable. There shouldn't be any subject with which you cannot have a discussion with your father. Now, this is true with our Heavenly Father. And remember the analogy. It's true of our earthly fathers, too. You want to capitalize on this. Both with God and with your father. And let me ask you. This week, have you approached God? He says, come boldly to the throne of grace to get help in time of need. Have you approached him this week? He promises, if you draw nigh to me, I will draw nigh to you. When you approach God, he will never be elsewhere. He will be there. That's what he's like. It's his nature. It's his attribute. It's what God, the Father, because he's a father. And you're a son or you're a daughter. And if everyone that asks receives, him that seeketh find, to him that knocks, the doors get open because his arms are outstretched to you like this and he's saying, come to me. Wow. Now, when you get together with your earthly father, this is a really great activity. Don't let it escalate. Don't let it turn into a war zone. Keep it reasonable. Because fathers are approachable. They are merciful. Just like God is merciful. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, look at this, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And look what he does. He comforts us in all our tribulation. Whoa, that's what fathers do. That's what God the Father does. That's what earthly fathers should do. They comfort us in all our tribulation. In fact, I would suggest to you that our young people, our teenagers, can become great fathers if they are fathered. But most in our culture have 42% of children in America are raised in a home without a physical father present. How will they ever be fathers when they become of age? See, that's why your father is so important to you. Because as you learn to reason, later on, you're going to be in his shoes reasoning with your children. And we learn fatherhood from fathers, the father and our fathers. And this is what they do. When times are tough, when anything's bad, fathers are right there to comfort, to care. No matter what the trouble is, you can count on father. Now, fathers are equitable. What that means simply is they treat all the children equally. And that's what God the Father's like. There are no favorites. If you call on the Father, now look at this, who is without respect of persons, he's going to make judgments or decisions according to every man's behavior. No respect of persons. There are no hierarchy in the family of God. We are all equal. So he doesn't have favorites. And so we earthly fathers are exactly like that. If you have, I was going to say, 10 children, but some of you might get too unnerved by that. But we have families with 12, right? And whatever number you've got, what the Father does is treat all of them of equal value. No favorites. So fathers are what we call equitable. In fact, I perceive it as a truth that God is no respecter of persons. He does not put one child above another. Now, this is really good news for all of us here. It means that every one of us have the same access to the Father as the other. Wow. And that access is so good, it couldn't be any better. And so we get treated equally well. And then lastly, fathers are redemptive. They are always trying to repair, replace, redeem, fix, solve, resolve, put it back together again. That's what fathers do. And that's what the Lord's like. He's not willing that any should perish. No father wants his child to perish. So fathers will do whatever it takes to redeem. And like the Heavenly Father, so when you're sick, I will restore your health unto thee. That's what fathers do. I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. And these words could be put right into the heart and minds of the fathers that we celebrate today. There's no sin they won't forgive. There's no damage they will not try to resolve. They give themselves, just like the Heavenly Father, for us. I was reading A.W. Tozer, and he tells this story. I'm going to read it to you because she really says it well. After the First World War, the United States, with its big heart, gave vast sums of money to the dislocated orphans of Europe. But they didn't have enough money to meet all the needs that existed. In one of the places where they were taking in orphans, a man came in, very thin, large, unnaturally bright eyes, thin cheeks, thin arms, leading a little girl. He also showed signs of malnutrition, eyes too large, her little abdomen distended, her thin little legs and arms too small and too thin for her age. The man let her in and said to the person in charge of the orphanage, "I would like you to take in my little girl." And they asked him if she was his daughter. He said, "Yes." "Well," they said, "we're awful sorry, but our rule here is that only full orphans can receive any help. If one of the parents is living, then we can't take responsibility because we just don't have enough. There are too many full orphans for us to take in half orphans." So the man looked down at his little girl, and she looked up questioning with big, too bright eyes, and then he turned and said, "Well, you know I can't work. I'm sick. I've been abused. I've been in prison. I've been half starved. And now I'm old and I can't work. I can barely stagger around, but I brought her down for you to take care of her." And they said, "We're sorry. There's nothing we can do." He said, "You mean that if I were dead, you'd take care of my little girl and feed her and she could live and have clothing and a home?" And they said, "Yes." He reached down and pulled her little skinny body up to himself and hugged her hard and kissed her. Then he put her hand in the hand of the man at the desk and said, "I'll arrange that." And he walked out of the room and took his life. Tozer says, "I heard that story long ago, and I haven't gotten over it yet. I still see that picture of the man who was too sick to work, but who stood in the way of his daughter getting decent food and clothing," he'll say. And he said, "I'll take care of that." And he did. That's what fathers do. Now Jesus, the personification of the Father, he said, "They're going to slay me." And Peter spoke up and said, "No." And in effect, Jesus said, "If I don't die, you can never live." So we have a Heavenly Father who was so interested in redemption that he came here and voluntarily let them take his life so we could live. And that's what fathers are like. They will do whatever it takes for the children. And that's why today it is a very fitting occasion when we honor the Father and our fathers, because they father us just like the Heavenly Father.
Our hope and prayer is that you have been blessed and encouraged through this teaching. Our mission is to edify, exhort, and disciple the body of Christ by teaching nothing but the truth from God's Word, the Holy Bible. For more information about Nothing But the Truth, or to view our teachings, please visit nothingbutthetruth.org.